it.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you. Just a quick reminder, this whole show is going to be pre-recorded as I am currently making my trek down to Middleton to spend the night for the Hatchet State Hockey Semifinal coming up tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Just a quick reminder, coming up on today's show, we will be sitting down with Hatchet hockey coach Dewey Riley to get his thoughts on the showdown coming up Thursday morning with New Richmond, who's the defending state champions and the number one seed in the state tournament. We will also talk Badger basketball and what they need to do to make a run at the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament. Plus, Hunter Bumgard from 97.3 The Game will stop by to talk Brewers spring training, and we'll also have Hatchet hockey defenseman Austin Lamer on to talk about his nomination for the Pascoola Award for best defenseman in the state. That's all coming up on the Sports Q today at 5:30 here on WJJQ. In the meantime, kick back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Antigo to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's edition of the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Great to have you along here on this Wednesday evening. Hope you're having a great day so far. We got a lot of show ahead of you for today. We're going to sit down with Hunter Bumgard from 97.3 The Game as we will talk about Brewer spring training and what Milwaukee has for their youth movement coming up later on this year. And also, we have a Hatchet hockey-filled show for you. Tomahawk hockey coach Dewey Riley will talk about the team's matchup with New Richmond coming up tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. We'll also give you a quick preview of what to expect from that particular game. We'll also sit down with defenseman Austin Lamer to get his thoughts on being nominated for the Great Northern Conference Player of the Year and the Joe Pascoola Award for Best Hockey Defenseman in the state of Wisconsin for Division II. Plus, we'll also have hockey highlights from Tomahawk's sectional final victory over Mosinee last Saturday. But first, we're going to go ahead and hit the hardwood and talk some Badger basketball. Let's get right into it. All right, let's go ahead and jump right into it here, shall we? Now, listen, the Badger men's basketball team, they got off to a raging hot start, and I remember talking about this at the beginning at this point in time, that it's very, very encouraging that they're off to the start. I was talking with Alex Strope from ESPN Madison. Go out and check out his show if you like. He does Mr. Irrelevant every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday over on ESPN Madison. And I have to tell you, I definitely have to tell you, the second half of the season has not been kind at all to Wisconsin. I talked about it after they lost to Purdue and Nebraska. I essentially gave those losses, not necessarily an excuse, but an explanation as to what happened. And essentially what happened was that when you go up against a team like Nebraska, who can shoot the lights out, and you go up against Purdue, who's consistently been a top five team in the nation pretty much the whole season, you're bound to be losing a game or two. Plus, Nebraska, I don't know if they've still lost a Big Ten game at home or not yet. They're a very good team at home, and they're going to be a very, very sneaky, interesting team come Big Ten tournament, which is taking place sooner rather than later. Because we've got March coming up. March begins in 2 days. So that means the madness will officially begin. But here's the thing. Even in the midst of all of these struggles from Wisconsin, they are still tied for third in the Big Ten ranking so far this year. The only two teams ahead of them are Purdue and Illinois, and they play both of them coming up for their final three games of the season. So they could easily steal a game or two from those as they start to head into the Big Ten tournament. They're currently tied for third with Northwestern, who's been playing very well this year with a 10-6 record. And I believe as it stands right now, Wisconsin would have the number 3 or the number 4 seed in the Big Ten tournament, which we've seen teams with lower seeds make a run in the Big Ten tournament. We saw Penn State, who was a number 10 seed, go all the way to the Big Ten championship game before ultimately losing. But the thing that's very, very concerning about Wisconsin this year, one of the things that we have talked about consistently with Wisconsin, especially Badger basketball, is their defense. No matter what happens, if their offense goes cold, so be it. But we know that their defense is going to show up every single night. This year, that has not been the case. These are the point totals that Wisconsin has put up, as allowed, by the way, throughout the course of the season. You allow 98 to Arizona? Arizona, one of the best teams in the state, in the nation. Understandable. You allow 80 to Tennessee when they were number 9 in the country? A little bit concerning now since Tennessee hasn't really performed well this year. But still, you know what? Give them a break. These are the concerning numbers. 80 at Nebraska, even though, again, it's understandable that they lost because Nebraska is a very good team at home. 87 to Penn State and 88 to Iowa. And again, Iowa's a team that likes to move up and down the court. So again, they're going to put up big numbers again. But the thing with Wisconsin is they are consistently known for being a good defensive team. And their defense, especially at the guard spot, has not been good. I like AJ Storr. I think that he's a very good offensive player. His defense leaves much to be desired. But what's disappointing at the guard spot is the fact that Chucky Hepburn has not been able to play well defensively on a consistent basis this season. Offensively, him being the floor general and only putting up scoring numbers when he is asked to do it, he has seemed to respond well to that. But his defense has not been good this year. And I was very, very concerned after their defense when they lost to Penn State. Again, giving up 88 points to them, but also losing at Michigan. Michigan, by the way, is in the doldrums of the Big Ten as we speak. And they also gave up 78 to Rutgers. They gave up 76 to Arkansas State to begin the season. Losing to Iowa, losing to Nebraska, losing to Rutgers, losing to these lower teams in the Big Ten has not done them any favors. Now, here's the thing, though. Wisconsin, by the way, they have 3 games left on their schedule to end the season. And they're very, very tough games. 2 of them are at home. They could take those 2. And there is a potential possibility that they could go in on a winning streak if they are able to play some of their best basketball throughout the final few games of this season. March 2nd, they play Illinois. Illinois is ranked number 13 in the country. And they have been one of the best teams in the nation since Terrence Shannon came back. They've got Rutgers at home. That's senior night. And Wisconsin should win that game. But then again, they lost to Rutgers by 26 the last time they played. They're going to need to perform better. But plain and simple, they're going to need to play better than they did that particular day. And then their season finale is against number 2 Purdue. And they were with Purdue for a lot of the game when they were at the Kohl Center. They lost the game by, I think, 6. So it's not like that this is necessarily impossible for them to go on this kind of a winning streak. What I will say is that if I don't see encouraging signs from Wisconsin's defense by the end of the regular season and going into the Big Ten tournament, which, by the way, starts in a couple weeks. Again, we've got March Madness coming up. March begins in 2 days. If we do not see that, Wisconsin will probably end up being ousted in the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, which unfortunately has become a theme with Greg Gard over the last few years. The last time Greg Gard advanced in the NCAA tournament was in 2018. That was the year that they knocked off. Yes, that was the year that they knocked off Villanova, who at the time was the defending national champion. And the Badgers essentially went to Villanova with a veteran-heavy team as a number 8 seed and upset them with Nigel Hayes, Ethan Happ, Bronson Koenig, all of those guys. The next weekend, they went to Madison Square Garden and lost to Florida on that Chris Chioza buzzer beater. And now I know hindsight is 20/20, but looking back at that, that might have ended Greg Gard's career, coaching career, and may have given the Badgers a great, big hump for them that they have not been able to get over. Since then, they have lost to Oregon in the first round. Oregon did go to the Elite Eight that year, so again, that's understandable. They lost to Iowa State last year in the first weekend of the tournament. Now, they lost to Baylor. Baylor ended up winning the national title that particular year, so that is an understandable loss. But these losses in the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, and they didn't even make the tournament last year. They went to the NIT and lost in the semifinals to North Texas. This is not what Badger basketball is all about. And I know that Greg Gard has cooled his seat down a little bit, but if he does not get this team past the first weekend of the tournament, his seat might start to heat up again. Something to keep in mind. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Tomahawk, good to have you along here on this Wednesday evening. Coming up after the break, we'll sit down with 97.3 The Game executive producer Hunter Baumgart, and we will talk Brewers spring trading. That's next on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Yes, we know it's early, but many days already, the sap is running. No worries, because Vigo Stewart Express is ready. Brian is featuring a nice selection of maple syrup supplies for your bottling needs. Glass containers, hydrometers, funnels, and other syruping supplies. Vigo Stewart Express, right along North 4th Street in Tomahawk, your maple syrup supply headquarters.
Let Carrier provide quiet, efficient heating all winter long with innovative solutions for premium comfort available at Hilgi's LP Gas. And for a healthier home, add the Infinity Air Purifier with an advanced filter that can capture and kill select viruses and bacteria. Learn the science and its impact on coronavirus at carrier.com/purifier. Hilgi's LP Gas, proudly serving our Northwoods area since 1958. Hilgi's, for your healthy heating comfort. Call 453-3505 or visit Hilgi's.com. Carrier, turn to the experts.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grantland invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hours Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with servings starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
Hi, I'm Jeff in the Morning, and I hope you'll be tuned in to my finally Friday morning conversation with Northwoods Community Realty. Navigating this current real estate market requires help from the pros, so we'll get some tips on that on the first Friday of the month conversation with Northwoods Community Realty on the Finally Friday Sunrise Show here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ.
And welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this Wednesday evening. Hope you're having a great day. And currently rejoining the show once again from 97.3 The Game, it's executive producer and former WJJQ sports director, Hunter Baumgart. Hunter, welcome back, my friend, and thank you once again for joining me.
Yeah, anytime, Alex. I know it's a very exciting time up there with the hockey team playing in the state tournament tomorrow.
So yes.
I'm super excited for everyone up there in the community and really excited to see what they can do tomorrow morning. And good luck to all the Hatchets headed down to Middleton.
Yeah. Hunter, thank you very much for those kind words here. Again, Tomahawk against New Richmond, the defending state champion. Should be a good one.
Absolutely. No, looking forward to listening to the call.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and jump right into Brewers spring training here, Hunter. Obviously, a lot has happened since we last talked. The last time we talked, it was Reese Hoskins coming to the team and thinking, you know, this team could maybe get to the playoffs. But since then, the Brewers have traded away Corbin Burnes, and they brought in Gary Sanchez. They brought back Brandon Woodruff. I want to know, what was your initial reaction to Corbin Burnes being traded to the Orioles a few weeks ago?
I was pretty surprised, because once Reese Hoskins was signed, I thought, okay, they're going to kind of go for it this year. Now, how this offseason has went is, when Council left, I thought, okay, the Council's left, they're going to kind of go through a transition. Pat Murphy was then named manager. I was like, okay, maybe, who knows, maybe that's a stopgap manager, and they'll just kind of, you know, transition. They'll get rid of Burnes, maybe even trade Adames, get some players back, prospects, and build for the future. Well, that didn't happen, and then they signed Reese Hoskins in late January, and I'm like, wow, well, they still got all their guys, and they signed the biggest first baseman on the market. They're, you know, who can have the biggest impact probably. And so I'm like, well, now they don't have many holes in that team. And if the young guys can step up, this can be a really good team. And then, you know, less than a week later, they turn around and trade Corbin Burnes, which was surprising. If they would have done it in December, I wouldn't have been surprised at all, because I think it would have just been, okay, they're in this transition. And but they do it right after the Rhys Hoskins signing, so that was what was surprising about it. The fact that they traded Corbin Burnes isn't overall in the grand scope of things super shocking, because as a small market team, you want to try to get, you know, as many players back and as many prospects back as you can for a guy like Corbin Burnes before his contract is up, because, you know, truth of the matter is he wasn't going to resign. He had 1 year left in his deal. And so you're able to get, you know, a nice haul back. We'll see what Joey Ortiz and D.L. Hall end up to be. D.L. Hall's been impressive in spring. He did like a simulated session against Yelich and Hoskins and struck him out back to back the other day. So that was cool. So, you know, he's got nasty stuff, and Yelich was talking, some of the guys were talking how nasty his stuff is already. So that's cool. Joey Ortiz had a nice RBI double yesterday in their game. So who knows what happens, but I do think it was overall surprising in the way that the sequence of the offseason, how it happened. But overall, it was, you know, Corbin Burnes being traded was basically inevitable, it seemed.
Hunter, you and I must be two halves of a whole genius, because I was thinking the exact same thing. I was thinking, okay, I can understand the Burnes trade, but what I don't understand is the timing of it, because they were talking initially back in December about dealing Burnes to the Orioles, and it's puzzling that this deal took 2 months for it, or, you know, figuratively speaking, 2 months to finally go through.
Yeah, that's what was puzzling about it, was because in December, the reports were that the Brewers weren't ready to do it. And so if the Brewers weren't ready to do it in December, and then all of a sudden you sign Rhys Hoskins and then you're ready to do it, was a little surprising. Now you could say, well, they wanted to clear up the money from Burnes and put that into Hoskins. Well, okay. But then I don't know if that's totally the case, because then they went out and signed Jacob Junis and Gary Sanchez and basically made up for the salary that Burnes was going to do,
right,
or are going to be on the books for. So it was a little confusing in that sense. You know, what was the change, right? What was the difference between early December? Did the Brewers want to see maybe if they could get a better deal, right? Because
sure,
they wanted to go through December and January, and this free agent market, the offseason in baseball has gone so incredibly slow. Cody Bellinger just signed. Blake Snell, one of the best pitchers in the game, is still on the market.
And yes,
the second week or the first week of spring training games and the second or third week of spring training workouts. So that's, you know, everything's gone so slow. So I'm not surprised that it came down, you know, just a couple of weeks before spring training.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the big question is, and I don't have the answer to it, and Arnold really didn't answer it totally in the press conference, is what changed between early December and late January. My guess would be they wanted to see if they could get a better deal. They couldn't, and boom, they did the deal with the Orioles.
Again, talking here with Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game. Hunter, in the meantime, after they trade away Corbin Burnes, they then make another interesting move and bring back Brandon Woodruff after they released him 3 months ago on a 2-year deal. What do you think he can provide for the Brewers over the next couple of years? Because he's going to be out for the whole 2024 season recovering from shoulder surgery.
Yeah, I mean, the 2024 season, it's looking kind of like an Aaron Ashby situation from last year, where there's maybe some sort of maybe chance it could be, you know, late September, like October, maybe. But that's very, you know, like kind of like Aaron Ashby. It's most likely not going to happen. And so, like you said, he'll most likely be out for the entire season. But I love that they got this guy back. Brandon Woodruff,
yes,
is one of the, having covered the Brewers for the last 2 years, he is one of the nicest guys in that clubhouse. And not just nice, but he is just, he's so welcoming to everybody. He's welcoming to the reporters. He's welcoming. He's a great voice in the clubhouse for young guys and young pitchers. This staff is going to have a lot of young pitchers. I mentioned Aaron Ashby there, Robert Gasser. There's D.L. Hall, who just came in, obviously, from Baltimore as well. The young guys in the bullpen, they can learn a lot from Brandon Woodruff. And Brandon Woodruff just being around this organization, how much he'll actually be in the dugout,
yes,
I'm not sure, because he's going to have to rehab and everything like that. But there's no doubt that he'll join the team for some of the year.
Right.
And it'll be great when he's able to and be around the team, because I think he's just that clubhouse presence cannot be matched. I mean, he's of all the guys that the Brewers have had, he's up there with one of the biggest clubhouse presence. And that would have been a big loss. You already lost the guy who was able to bring the clubhouse together, and Craig Counsell, who knowingly was really good at that and building a good culture. And then you would have lost Brandon Woodruff as well. And that's two big losses from that
it
clubhouse.
Is.
So, yeah, so to be able to bring Brandon Woodruff back, I think, was so big. Not only, okay, maybe off the field in 2024, but then if that guy can be the Brandon Woodruff we know and love in 2025, you get a really good pitcher back. All of a sudden, you're back to having two of your three studs in that rotation in Peralta and Woodruff.
Yes, and again, looking at this team as well, you mentioned the young pitching staff, Hunter. They also have a lot of young position players. This is an overall young team because you've got Jackson Churio that's going to be making his MLB debut most likely this year. You've got Garrett Mitchell coming back from injury. Sal Frelick, seems like that they're experimenting him in the infield as well over the last couple of games. You've also got Joey Weimer there. You've got Tyler Black. What can we expect, do you think, from the Brewers' young core this year?
That is, I think, probably the biggest question mark. I think the rotation is a big question mark, just because when you lose two of the top pitchers in baseball in Burns and Woodruff, you're going to have to make up for that somehow, and it's hard to fill those shoes.
Yes.
But the young guys, there's so much potential in these guys. You talked about all of them there, and there's just every name you mentioned, it's like the sky's the limit for these guys, and which is so cool, because if they all come together, could be a special season. You saw what all the young guys did for the Diamondbacks last year and getting them to the World
Series.
So
that's a good point.
So I think that could be kind of where the Brewers are this season, as far as if everything goes right, they could have a really, really good season if all these young guys pan out. But the really interesting thing to me is the Sal Frelick thing at third base, and like you mentioned,
yeah,
and getting some playing time over there in the first couple of spring training games. And he worked out with Dustin Pedroia over the offseason, of course, well-known, really good infielder, obviously,
yes,
for the Boston Red Sox. And so he basically, Pat Murphy had this vision in early December after he had taken the job. And he called Sal Frelick and he went, well, you know what? I can kind of see you playing third base. What do you say we try? And Sal was like, absolutely. Sal's just a ball player. He just loves being out there. So he said yes. Pat Murphy knows Dustin Pedroia. He calls up Dustin. Pedroia's like, absolutely, I'll help him. So Pedroia meets with Frelick and Terang in the offseason and kind of helps Frelick move into the infield.
Mm-hmm.
And Pedroia was actually, pretty impressed with how good Frelick was right off the bat in the infield. And then, of course, impressed with what Terang can do, because Terang's really good at defense as well.
Yes.
So he worked with them. I mean, that's if you're going to pick a guy to work on infield with, Pedroia's got to be up there. So then, they're going with it, and they're going to see what he does at third base. Now, you're going to see Frelick a fair amount at third base in spring training because they want to see what he can do. Does that mean Frelick's going to be the opening day third baseman? And then most likely not, mm-hmm, but they want to just see what he can do over there so then they can get some versatility because, as you mentioned, they have stacked outfield. They've, of course, got Yelich, who is said to reporters and probably to the Brewers coaching as well, that he wants,
yes,
to play in left field.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to be an everyday DH. You got him in left field, then of course you got Mitchell, you got Churio, you got Weimer, you got Perkins, you got Frelick, and so like as much as you want Frelick in the outfield, if Frelick can be a great leadoff hitter, you want to keep his bat in the lineup, third base could be an option. So that'll be probably the most interesting thing to me, along with that rotation, to see how it plays out this spring.
Yeah, again, talking here with Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game. Hunter, final question on this Brewers team here. Obviously, you mentioned that Craig Counsell was going to be leaving here. Pat Murphy has taken over the squad. Ricky Weeks is essentially going to be the second in command. What do you think this particular coaching staff will bring to the table here this year?
It's a big question. I know Pat Murphy is going to be fascinating to cover. I think he's going to give us a lot more than Counsell did as far as personality. Counsell was pretty straightforward. He'd give you the answers, that you wanted, but he was very straightforward in the way he did it. Pat Murphy has already, just kind of joked around and done some funny things with reporters already down in spring training. Because I think one of the days they told him not to play a young guy, and then he played him in the ninth inning, and then he told reporters, "Yeah, I forgot that they told me not to play him." he comes out and he admits that stuff. He's just such a real guy. We had the privilege of talking to him once a week on our post game show this past season,
mm-hmm,
and when he was the bench coach, and so we kind of got an insight into what he, because he really gives you really good insight into what is going on in that clubhouse, and he's not afraid to say it. And what's great to me so far, and we'll see how this season goes, What's great to me is because he's been promoted to manager, that hasn't gone away so far, right? Because as a manager, you want to keep things close to the vest, and you don't always tell. We see LaFleur do it all the time, or these guys, you know, they want to keep things close to the vest. Well, Murphy, I just don't think he can help himself. He likes just talking. So I think it's wonderful, and I think it's going to be great for the fans, because I think you're going to see these press conferences after the game be a little more lively, a little more, you know, you're going to have more substance to him. I think Doc Rivers has kind of given that a little bit to the Bucks as well. He's given more than Adrian Griffin was.
Sure,
so
yeah.
That's just something to look for as fans as we go through the season. But on the field, I don't know. I think he's going to be similar to Council, but I think he's also going to have those a little bit more old school roots, right? He's going to be kind of a mix. Ricky Weeks is obviously that young guy to balance him out a little bit, just like it was Council and Murph, young and old. I think Weeks and Murph, young and old. But again, Murph is now at the helm. So I think you'll see a little more old school. Whether it be bunting or the hit and run or whatever it happens to be, I think maybe you see a little more of that. But I think it's going to be a feeling out period too. We don't really know how similar to Council he'll be, and I'm really interested to see how that all plays out.
Hard to believe, Hunter, that opening day is just 30 days away already. Brewers begin the 2024 regular season March 28th in New York against the Mets. Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game, thank you very much once again, Hunter. We'll talk to you once opening day gets closer.
Absolutely. 1 month from today is opening day. And once again, good luck to the Hatchet hockey team going down to Middleton tomorrow.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Hunter. You have a wonderful day.
You too. Thanks, guys.
All right. Again, Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more of the Sports Q right after this here on WJJQ.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
We all have hopes, dreams, and goals for ourselves and our family. This is Rich Teggy with Wealth Strategy Group. Financial goals are no different than any other goal. It all starts with a plan. We know the importance of a solid financial plan focused on what's most important to you. We listen and take the time to understand your vision and create a strategy to pursue your specific dreams and goals. We would appreciate the opportunity to discuss your goals, understand your financial situation, and create a plan tailored to reaching your desired retirement lifestyle. Wealth Strategy Group is here to provide the assistance you need. Call us today at 453-0722 or access us on the web at wsginvest.com or stop by our office on North 4th Street in Tomahawk. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Get on board at Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Outboards serves their fantastic menu selections from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Stop on by for happy hour from 2 until 5, Monday through Thursday. Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk, features their Friday fish fry with cod, walleye, shrimp, and catch of the day. It's Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Get on board.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook here with you. Great to have you along on this Wednesday evening. Thank you very much to Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game for joining me on today's show. Coming up on the second half of the Sports Q, we are going to sit down with Hatchet hockey coach Dewey Riley to get his thoughts on the team's state semifinal showdown with defending state champion New Richmond tomorrow morning. We'll also provide details of the broadcast coming up for you here on WJJQ. Also, Hatchet defenseman Austin Lamer will stop by, and he will talk about his nomination for the Pascula Award for the best defenseman in the state. That's coming up on the Sports Q. Second half here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. Our temperature is currently in the lower teens to single digits here. It is about 6 o'clock time for our latest update from CBS News.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. The Supreme Court has decided it will weigh in on whether former President Trump should be entitled to broad immunity from federal prosecution for his role on January 6. CBS's Major Garrett tells us this is historic.
It is an important constitutional matter, one the court has never had to consider because no former president has ever been prosecuted or in the terms of that prosecution asserted to this highest court in the land that every activity undertaken during a presidency is absolutely immune from any second guessing or criminal prosecution federally.
Oral arguments in this case are expected to start in April and wrap up by June, which means there would still be time for a trial before the election if the Justice Department decides to proceed. Shutdown averted today on Capitol Hill.
Leaders of the House and Senate say they'll vote on six bills prior to March 8th and another six before March 22nd. Negotiations were fraught, with hardline Republicans seeking spending cuts and policy changes. This is lawmakers' struggle to pass a $95 billion bill, including funding for Ukraine and Israel, that's currently stuck in the House.
That's CBS's Allison Keyes. The results are in on President Biden's latest physical. CBS's Linda Kenyon reports.
The only change from last year is the use of a PAP machine for sleep apnea. The report concludes President Biden is a healthy, active, robust 81-year-old male who remains fit to successfully execute the duties of the presidency.
Biden's gotten a lot of flack about his age as he seeks a second term. Age, a factor in 82-year-old Mitch McConnell's decision today to retire from his leadership role in the Senate.
One of life's most underappreciated talents is to know when it's time to move on to life's next chapter.
He'll step down after the election, but finish his term. Dry conditions are fueling dangerous wildfires in Texas, where firefighters have fanned out across the panhandle. CBS's Dave Malkoff is there.
They have bulldozers on the south flank of this fire. They are trying to cut a fire line. What that means is they are trying to get every bit of vegetation, every bit of anything that can burn out of the way with those bulldozers and cut a fire line right down to the mineral soil right there, because dirt can't burn.
Comedian and actor Richard Lewis has died at 76. His career spanned decades, but he was best known recently for his role on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
You never call me. You always pick the restaurant.
What are you? Are we married? I don't understand. Am I dating you?
You hate people. Your wardrobe sucks.
I do, so what?
Lewis suffered a heart attack last night in Los Angeles. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In this market, you'll find Fisher Investments is different than other money managers.
Different how? Aren't we all just looking for the hottest stocks?
Nope. We use diversified strategies to position our clients' portfolios for their long-term goals.
You don't just provide cookie-cutter portfolios?
No, we tailor our clients' portfolios to their goals and needs.
But you still sell investments that generate high commissions for you, right?
No, we don't sell commission-based products. We're a fiduciary, the highest standard of care for a financial advisor. It means we're obligated to act in our clients' best interest.
So when do you make more money? Only when your clients make more money?
Yep, we have one transparent management fee structured, so we do better when our clients do better.
Sounds like you really look out for your clients.
We do, because our priority is helping them achieve a comfortable retirement. That might be why most of our clients come from other money managers. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments in securities involve the risk of loss.
New auto prices could be downshifting.
Plenty of people rant online about auto prices.
Ridiculous asking prices of new cars where they just.
But things may be changing. At the end of January, Cox Automotive says American auto dealers had 2.6 million new cars, trucks, and SUVs on their lots. That's about a million more than a year ago. And that means price increases are slowing and in some cases falling. It's helping cool the overall inflation rate. Computer chip shortages are over. Production has been steady. The average price for a new vehicle is just over $47,000, $1,000 lower than last December's peak. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
Pope Francis is back at the Vatican after visiting a hospital for tests today in Rome. The 87-year-old pontiff has been suffering from a mild flu and skipped several meetings and audiences. Vatican aides have been filling in. Francis ditched a speech last month because he was sick with bronchitis. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
We all have hopes, dreams, and goals for ourselves and our family. This is Rich Teggie with Wealth Strategy Group. Financial goals are no different than any other goal. It all starts with a plan. We know the importance of a solid financial plan focused on what's most important to you. We listen and take the time to understand your vision and create a strategy to pursue your specific dreams and goals. We would appreciate the opportunity to discuss your goals, understand your financial situation, and create a plan tailored to reaching your desired retirement lifestyle. Wealth Strategy Group is here to provide the assistance you need. Call us today at 453-0722 or access us on the web at wsginvest.com or stop by our office on North 4th Street in Tomahawk. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
The forecast for the Northwoods. After a blast of winter weather today, now winds are finally starting to calm down. However, with clear skies, we'll still drop quite cold tonight with lows near 2. Winds start to whip up a little more tomorrow, but this time out of the south, nudging our high temperatures into the upper 30s under mostly sunny skies. For Friday, sunshine will be abundant, winds will still be kicking out of the south, and this will crank our highs to the low 50s. It gets even warmer than that, returning to feeling like spring for Saturday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot for WJJQ.
The Sports Q on WJJQ, your source for sports from around the state and in the Northwoods. Here's your host, Alex Cook.
Good evening and welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this Wednesday evening. We're now going to go ahead and get into the second half of our show, and it's going to be a lot of Hatchet talk. We're going to sit down with Hatchet hockey coach Dewey Riley. Got the chance to talk to him before their state semifinal showdown coming up tomorrow morning as they take on number one seed New Richmond. And this is what Dewey had to say about his team and the historic season that Tomahawk has put up. Enjoy. Welcome back here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you. Great to have you along with us. And currently joining me is Hatchet hockey coach Dewey Riley. Dewey, welcome, my friend, and thank you very much for joining me.
As always, thanks for having me, Alex.
Let's go ahead and get right into this here. You know, we didn't necessarily expect to be this deep into the season at this point, but let's go back to your win on Saturday. What was the biggest reason your team not only won, but dominated Mosinee, putting up 8 goals on them?
I think it was just the mentality that the kids brought to the game. You know, they're truly buying in and believing that they are a great team and belong there, and that we have a very good chance of, you know, winning games. And when they, you know, are in the moment, when they take it shift by shift and they just buy into outworking the opponent, the puck tends to bounce your way and good things happen.
You know, you look at this particular team here, Dewey. You took over this team. Now you are bringing this community their first state tournament appearance after 33 years. What does it mean to be going to this state tournament in Middleton this week?
I think it's awesome. I think it's great for our team. It's great for our school. I think it's great for our community. I truly believe that Tomahawk, you know, a lot of times centers around our school district. And when we get positive things coming out of there, it just, you can't help it. It flows into the community, and the support that we've been receiving, not just from people in the community, but, you know, alumni and old coaches and things like that, it's truly been remarkable. And it's awesome to see how Tomahawk can rally behind the kids and, you know, really get into something special.
Yeah, and talking here with Hatchet hockey coach Dewey Riley here on WJJQ. Dewey, you took over this team at the proverbial last minute. What has been your team's philosophy throughout the course of the season?
You know, we kind of joke in the locker room that it was kind of like getting the band back together. After having been with these kids, you know, literally since we were tying their skates, we just kind of got back to, you know, the mentality that I like to bring to teams, and that is, you know, you can control two things, your effort and your attitude. And when those things are in line, you know, when you're playing for your teammates, good things happen. And I'm a big fan of, you know, being aggressive, putting your foot on the gas and outworking the opponent, and then letting the scoreboard take care of itself.
You know, as we start to head to Middleton and reflect on this regular and postseason here, Dewey, what have you been most impressed with this particular team?
I think the camaraderie amongst the kids. When I look at how these kids have embraced their roles, and we've talked about this before throughout the year, in that, you know, there's one puck and there's a lot of kids on the team, and you're going to have kids that, you know, get a lot of ink on the stat sheet, and that's great. You're going to have kids who may not step foot on the ice during the games, But it truly takes, you know, that camaraderie, that sense of team within the locker room for us to truly be competitive and to be successful. And the way that we practice and the good times that we have on the bus in the locker room and everything else really speaks to the quality of kids that we have, and the fact that I truly feel like the most impressive thing is our sense of team.
Again, talking here with Hatchet Hockey Coach Dewey Riley here on WJJQ. Dewey, obviously, as you start to head to Middleton here, your team has been very, very strong in a lot of aspects, but give me a couple of aspects of the game that you think they need to improve on as they prepare for their showdown Thursday morning.
Maybe not necessarily improve on, but just continue to emphasize. When you look at how we've played down the stretch, it's mostly come down to things that don't show up on the stat sheet. And basically, you know, we joke about it, but we call it forecheck, backcheck, paycheck. When our forecheck, meaning how we attack the offensive zone, when we are going like our butt's on fire and our head is catching, you know, good things happen. They tend to turn the puck over and, you know, we tend to stay on offense. When they do get the puck out of the zone, when we have guys, you know, doing everything they can to create back pressure, it really helps out our D. And when we focus on those two things, basically things that never show up on a stat sheet, but ultimately, you know, are the little details in the game that end up to success, I think we always have a chance.
So let's go ahead and talk a little bit more about the teams that you're going to be, that are going to be down there with you here, Dewey. Obviously, Tomahawk is, I believe, without a doubt, the smallest team in the state tournament in Division II. The other teams that you're going, that are coming here, New Richmond. You've also got St. Mary Springs and River Falls. All of these teams are very, very big schools. What are you telling this team as you prepare for your state semifinal Thursday?
Basically, to stay the course. You know, we're not going to change. Ultimately, you know, we take care of our scheme and our program first. You know, it's not necessarily that you're playing against the other team. You're playing for the guys who are sitting next to you on the bench. And that's when we've truly kind of started to excel, is when it's that camaraderie, it's that sense of team that has propelled us, no matter who we face, to being successful. And so, yes, they may have more kids, but they are still kids. They put their skates on just like everybody else, and I like our chances against just about anybody.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about your state semifinal here, talking here with Hatchet Hockey Coach Dewey Riley here on WJJQ. Dewey, let's talk about your matchup. You've got the New Richmond Tigers. They are the defending state champions, the number one overall seed in this tournament for your first state tournament matchup and the first state semifinal matchup in school history. What does your team need to do to come away with the win?
I think that we need to basically keep our composure, never too high, never too low. When things go good, you know, don't be afraid to show some emotion, get excited. When things go bad, learn from it and move on. And it's going to be just taking that kind of methodical approach to it where, yes, enjoy the moment, but just take it shift by shift. We try to win a shift, we win a period, and then we adjust from there. It's going to be a fast game. I'm anticipating a physical game. New Richmond is obviously a good team. They're well coached. They've been there before. But I think that, again, we are starting to come around as Tomahawk, where we believe that we belong there, and we absolutely do. And we need to go in there, not necessarily with a chip on our shoulder, but with a little bit of swagger saying, nobody gave us this, we earned it, and we'll give you a game.
Dewey, do you have any final thoughts before we wrap things up?
No, just it's been a great fun ride for myself personally. I hope that the kids have had a great experience, and the support and the outpouring from the community that we've received has been nothing short of amazing. I hope that it continues down in Middleton, and just thank you to everyone who's been behind us. Truly appreciate it.
Well, Dewey, the whole town of Tomahawk is behind you. The Hatchets playing their first state semifinal in school history Thursday morning at the Bob Suter Capital Ice Arena in Middleton against number one seed and defending state champion New Richmond. Opening faceoff is at 9 o'clock. Dewey, thank you very much, and good luck to your team on Thursday morning.
Thank you very much, Alex.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break. We'll be back with more after this on WJJQ.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to The Sports Cube with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
And Chatha Country Club offers two state-of-the-art golf simulators to keep you swinging your clubs during these winter months. Call 405-331-30 to schedule your tee time on one of the sims. Go online to find the simulator hours and make sure you follow Inshallah on Facebook for monthly simulator hours. Inshallah Country Club, 405-331-30 and online at InshallahCC.com. It's the Inshallah Country Club.
Check out the last of the new 2023 models at unbelievable prices and save during the President's Day sale at Brickner Motors on Little Chicago's Northeast Side. Last new 2023 Ram 1500 Crew Cab Big Horn Night Edition loaded, now just $6,876, including the 10% rebate. The last new 2023 Grand Cherokee L Limited 4x4, 7-passenger full heated leather, toe prep, rear seat entertainment group, and 20-inch alloys, $52,398 after all discounts and rebates. New 2023 Jeep Compass Latitude Lux 4x4, heated seats and wheel, dual paint sunroof, Lux driver assist package, now $38,501. The most capable truck Jeep ever built. The last new 2023 Jeep Gladiator 4x4, Willys edition, removable hardtop trailer tow and cold weather group, now just $45,353. President's sale event going on now at Brickner Motors on Little Chicago's Northeast Side, minutes from Wausau, Merrill, and Medford.
Let's give a thunderous round of applause to our Hatchet hockey team as they've skated their way to the state tournament for the first time since 1991. Congratulations to the players, coaches, parents, and supporters who have helped make this dream a reality. Your hard work and dedication have paid off in a big way. As they gear up to take on New Richmond Thursday morning in Madison, let's flood the stands with our unwavering support and show them the true spirit of our community. From all of us at Wild Rivers Group Real Estate, we say, way to go, Hatchets. And if you're in the market for a new home or looking to sell, remember that WildRiversGroup.com has all the latest listings, and we are here to assist you with all your real estate needs. Give me a call at 715-490-1820 or send me an email at matt@WildRiversGroup.com. Go Hatchets!
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this Wednesday evening. Hope you're having a great day. It's now time for our second Hatchet interview of the night. Our very own Tim Albert got the chance to sit down with Hatchet defenseman Austin Lamer to get his thoughts on this amazing season for Tomahawk hockey. And here's Tim.
Joined by Tomahawk Hatchet junior defenseman Austin Lamer here on WJJQ. And Austin, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, Austin, you guys are headed to the state championships coming up on Thursday. You play New Richmond at Middleton Capital Ice Arena. Great arena to play in. Have you played there before?
I have a couple of different times.
Austin, as...
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods, this is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
John J. Shuni Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes Design Studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Shuni Construction of Tomahawk.
Despite mild weather so far, got a feeling Old Man Winter will soon show us some normal Northwoods cold weather. Can your furnace handle the job? Might be a good time to call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700. Premier offers the Dave Lennox signature collection of furnaces designed from the inside out to look good and work better than ever. Call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700. For a free estimate for your Lennox heating needs and great service after the sale with special protection plan memberships available. Lennox innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling, serving customers from Weston to Woodruff and locations in between. Call 453-4700, online at premierheatingcooling.com, or their showroom at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County Road A, Tomahawk.
Hi, it's Jessica from Crossbridge Community Bank. There's no better time than now to consider new ways to increase your earnings on your money. We have new and competitive CD and money market rates that will help assure your deposits do more. Visit our website at crossbridge.bank for current rates. Whether you have $1,000 or $1 million, are a current customer or new to Crossbridge, we can find the account and product that's right for you. We welcome you to create a purposeful partnership with the only community bank in Lincoln County. Choose a bank that treats you like family, is rooted in the community, and always puts purpose first. Visit us at crossbridge.bank or stop in today.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you. Thank you very much to Hatchet Hockey Coach Dewey Riley and defenseman Austin Lamer for joining me on today's show as we get set for our WIAA State Semifinal Showdown tomorrow morning as Tomahawk takes on New Richmond. Again, Fairman Orthodontics pregame show will begin at 8:15 and opening faceoff will be at 9 o'clock from the Capital Ice Arena in Middleton tomorrow morning. Let's now go ahead and dive into the Milwaukee Bucks, shall we?
Win. 5.2 left. No timeouts left for the Bucks. Here comes Dame. 3 seconds. Dame pulls for the win. Oh, Dame time is alive and well.
All right, let's go ahead and jump right into it here. The Bucks came out of the All-Star break clicking on all cylinders, coming away with wins over Minnesota and Philadelphia. Now, here's what I'm going to say about this. What Milwaukee showed me with those wins over Minnesota and Philadelphia, not necessarily in the game against Charlotte, because Charlotte is not one of the best teams in the NBA. They're one of the worst, as a matter of fact, right down there with Detroit. But what Milwaukee showed me against Minnesota and Philly is what they are capable of. They are capable of being a top 10 defensive team in the NBA. They're capable of doing that combined with also the strong play from Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard. And listen, a lot of people are wondering why Lillard has been struggling so much this year. And the answer is, I don't necessarily think it's simple, but I believe that the answer itself can be simplified. And that is the fact that he is not making shots. Now, I honestly believe that that is due to the fact that he is in Milwaukee. He's on a new team for the first time this particular season. And that he has not been able to perform up to the caliber that he has. And again, last year, he was hurt for most of the season. So it's not like that he was 1,000% healthy last year. He struggled. He struggled last year, and he still put up 32. He struggled to stay on the court. This year, he's been staying on the court and averaging 25-7, which, again, very good numbers, not Damian Lillard numbers with what we've expected. But here's the thing also. The defense that they had against Minnesota, the defense that they played with against Philly, again, without Joel Embiid, so take it with a grain of salt, that is what they're capable of. That is exactly what they are capable of. Now, if you want to say that maybe, you know, you don't know how this will translate, well, we're going to find out a lot more about this Milwaukee Bucks team come this week and throughout the entire month of March, and I'll get to that in a second. But here's the thing. If you have that kind of suffocating defense, the suffocating defense that allows under 100 points to Philadelphia and allows Minnesota to only put up 107, and by the way, Minnesota, they are one of the most efficient teams defensively in the NBA, and you put up 114 against them, that definitely is a good sign. That suffocating defense combined with the stellar offense that we have seen from Milwaukee before Doc got there and when Adrian Griffin got there, if you're able to put those two together, that will go very well for you down the stretch, especially when they play some of the better teams in the NBA. And again, it seems like that according to what Bobby Portis and again what Giannis Antetokounmpo said after they beat Philadelphia on Sunday is that they're back to their old selves, which we hope. That is exactly what we hope. We hope that they're back to their old selves. We hope that they're back to winning 60 games. We hope that they don't get upset in the first round like they did last year to the Miami Heat. And again, Miami went on to the NBA Finals. They had an unbelievable run and probably the hottest shooting run I've ever seen an NBA team had in my lifetime. Outside of when maybe the Miami Heat went to the finals in the bubble as well. They always seem to get you at the worst possible time. Again, Giannis said that, you know, there's been a lot of changes here. They're trying to adapt. And again, they had to adapt to Adrian Griffin. Now they've had to adapt to Doc Rivers. And Bobby said it seems like that the old Bucks are back. Here's what I will say to those two particular individuals. You keep that play up. You're right. Don't go ahead and start losing to teams like Charlotte. Don't start losing to teams like Memphis like you did before the All-Star break. Don't lose to Toronto in April. Don't lose to New Orleans. Beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. If you do that, you'll be fine. And to be honest with you, I feel like the Milwaukee has the potential to win every single game that's left on their roster towards the end of the season. Let me go through this, the final game of February, which is tomorrow at Charlotte, and then the entire March schedule. Now again, on Thursday, they go to Charlotte. They should win that game. After that, they go to Chicago. Friday, second of a back-to-back, may catch them off guard a bit. Still think they should win that game, but it'll be a tougher since it's a division opponent. After that is when it starts to amp up. They've got the Clippers on Monday at home. Then they start a four-game road trip with a showdown at Golden State on Wednesday. And the Warriors, even though they've struggled still, you have to respect Steph Curry. You always have to respect probably the best shooter in NBA history. And that kicks off a four-game road trip with Golden State, the Lakers, the Clippers, and Sacramento. All four of those teams are dominant offensively. All four of those teams are very good offensive teams. And the Clippers are an amazing defensive team because Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden have all seemed to make it work in LA. Will it translate to an NBA championship or an NBA Finals appearance? Maybe. We don't know. Then after that, they come home and they've got back-to-back games against Philadelphia and Phoenix. Now, Phoenix, they're very good offensively. Defensively, they leave a lot to be desired. Philadelphia don't know if Joel Embiid's going to be back. So I'm going to say they should win both those games. Then they go to Boston. Boston has been, obviously, a tier above everybody in the Eastern Conference this year, but we'll see how that happens come postseason time. That's what I want to see. Then they have three straight home games against some good teams. Brooklyn, they're on the back end. Then they've got OKC, and Oklahoma City is a team that has been absolutely dominant in the West. They are, I believe, the number two seed currently in the Western Conference behind Minnesota, or they're 1A and 1B with the Timberwolves. I'd have to look. But they have an outstanding guard named Shai Gilgeous-Alexander that is 6'1", 100, that's 6'6", 180 pounds, and he is averaging 31 points and shooting over 50% from the field as a guard. He is going to be very, very tough for Damian Lillard to guard. Very, very tough. Then they have the Lakers at home. And again, LeBron James and Anthony Davis, we know what they bring to the table. Then their final game of the season, their final two games of March, I should say, are at New Orleans and at Atlanta. Milwaukee should honestly go 7-3 in those games. Actually, they've got 12 games. They should go 9-3. You go 2-2. On your road trip, you've got Philly and Phoenix should win both those games. You want to say you lose to Boston? That's fine. But then after that, you got Brooklyn, Oklahoma City, Lakers, New Orleans, and Atlanta all in a row. You should win all five of those games. So if you go 9-3 in the month of March, that's a success. That is a success. And that'll lead you in April because the April schedule gets a little bit easier. They've got Boston one more time. They've got two with Orlando, and then they go to Oklahoma City as well. We get to find out what the Bucks are really made of in March and April. And it all leads up to the postseason when we find out what they're made of in April and May. We'll see if Doc can get this team past the second round like he's been unable to do over the last 12 years. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. Thank you very much for joining today. We'll be back to wrap things up right after this.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
You already know Tomahawk Furniture and Gun offers you low prices every day. But did you know that if you find a better price, they will match it? They also have a great selection of clearance items just waiting for you to take home. Stop in at 109 West Wisconsin Avenue in downtown Tomahawk, or at their showroom just four doors down at 123 West Wisconsin Avenue, where you will find closeouts and hot buys on everything from rustic furniture to mattresses. Find the best deals in the showroom with inventory constantly changing. Grab these deals while they last. It's Tomahawk Furniture and Gun in downtown Tomahawk. Prices so low, you gotta bend over to see them.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. Mainly clear skies tonight with lows around 9 below. Winds out of the west 5 to 10 miles per hour. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 35. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Right now, 12.
Come on, come on, choose health and motion for you.
Hi, this is Stephanie Ahrens, Doctor of Physical Therapy at Health and Motion in Tomahawk. Health and Motion is a therapist-owned outpatient clinic with 8 locations in northern Wisconsin. Our skilled providers treat a wide variety of musculoskeletal conditions, post-surgical cases, vertigo, jaw pain, and many more. Here at Health and Motion, we value our one-on-one time with patients using treatments backed by research and cutting-edge technology to get our patients better faster and with greater satisfaction. Give us a call to schedule an evaluation or a complimentary 15-minute screen with one of our therapists. Majority of the time, we can get you scheduled within 48 hours. Simply call 453-6650 or look at our website, himwi.com.
So come on, come on, choose health and motion for you.
Come in and find out why generations of families in the Northwoods have been doing business at the Auto House in Tomahawk for nearly 40 years. Gary is the longest operating auto dealer in the area. He provides selection, selection, selection. He's got about 40 quality late model used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot right now. The Auto House is a complete dealership where they service what they sell in their service department with an ASE certified technician. And if you need a rental vehicle, the Auto House has rental units available. And if you don't see exactly what you want on Gary's lot, just talk to him and he'll find what you're looking for, and that's what you call doing business the right way. The Auto House, North 4th Street in Tomahawk, online at autohousecars.net. That's AUTOHAUS cars.net.
Tune in for the Fairman Orthodontics Radio pregame show at 8:15 tomorrow morning. An opening face-off at 9 o'clock. Keith Hansey will join me in the broadcast booth. If Tomahawk wins, they will be playing either number 2 seed River Falls or number 3 seed St. Mary Springs in the state championship game Saturday morning. That game would get underway at 9:30. Thank you very much once again for tuning in. To wrap things up, we're going to provide you some highlights from Tomahawk's sectional final victory over Mosinee on Saturday. Keith Hansey was in the booth with me. It was an absolutely phenomenal day to be over in Mosinee that particular day. Thank you very much for tuning in to tonight's episode here on WJJQ. Again, be sure to tune in tomorrow for Hatchet Hockey State semifinal action against New Richmond with opening faceoff at 9 o'clock. Have a sportacular week, and I'll see you all next week. High school sectional final hockey is live and on the air. A very good Saturday afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Alex Cook. Great to have you with us here. We're coming to you from the Rec Center in Mosinee, where tonight your Tomahawk Hatchets, the number one seed in their sectional, are playing for their first trip to the state tournament since 1991 tonight against the Mosinee Indians. And joining me in the booth for tonight's potential historic event is the one and only Keith Hansey. Welcome back, my friend.
Thanks, Alex. I'm pumped up to be here.
Yes.
There's over 600 people in this barn right now. It is absolutely electric.
And now they're going to go ahead and move it back around. Again, Jonah Jacobs will go ahead and try to face off with Abremski. And Abremski, that one knocked. That one won by Tomahawk. Here comes Lamer. Make a move. Lamer, he shoots. He scores! Austin Lamer puts it in the top left corner. And the Hatchets strike first with 14:33 to go in the first period.
That was set up by Rex Wiley. Well, we won the faceoff, got it back to Rex. He's got it over to Austin, and Austin just absolutely sniped that.
And now Logan Seymour comes away with it. Here comes Austin Lamer, looking to make a move. Nice pass up to Dickens, could not handle that pass, though. Again, soft hands is going to be the key. Dickens fights through a check. Now loose puck, scooped up. Landon Seymour tries to center and knocked away. Here comes Braden Lamer. He shoots, rebound, shot, score! It's lead 2-0, 11:08 to go first period. What a start for Tomahawk in the sectional final.
That was a great case of getting that shot, getting that rebound, and Sawyer Hanna just in the perfect spot.
Boy, Tomahawk has had Aiden Carr's number this season. That's the 20th goal they put on him in really three games in 7 minutes. Mosinee tries to clear it. Rex Riley scoops it up. Over to Caleb. Caleb back to Rex. Rex looks to operate. Gets it over to Austin now on the near side. Austin tries to find someone. Austin with a shot. He scores! Austin Lamer again!
Nice. Absolute snipe.
My goodness! Austin Lamer with his second goal of the night. 3-0 Tomahawk. My goodness!
Top left. That goal is open, and that's where he's been shooting it.
Wow! Face-off in the Mosinee zone is won by the Hatchets. Logan Seymour loops it back around, and instead that's going to be scooped up by him. Logan tries to lead it right back in front. Jonah tries to center it. Rebound shot, and he scores! Logan Seymour! 19.9 to go! 4-1 Tomahawk! Oh my goodness! What a first period for the Hatchets!
And they were in front of that net. They were getting rebounds, and they just kept the pressure on.
Logan Seymour with the goal, one of the senior leaders of this team, makes it 4-1 Hatchets, 19.9 seconds left. Newark, who's got most of these lone goals so far tonight. Braden Lamer tries to poke it back ahead to Logan Seymour. Tomahawk fans were looking for a penalty. They didn't get the call, though. Here comes Braden now looking to move. Braden tries the cross-ice pass that does go into neutral ice. Poked ahead by Logan Seymour. Here comes Jonah making a move. Jonah leaves it back for Logan. Logan in on goal. He scores!
Beautiful pass out to Logan, and he took advantage of it. He was patient. He didn't try to shoot it right away. He took his time, and that was a great goal.
Now here comes Jonah Dickens in the neutral ice, and Tomahawk will just go ahead and reset. Big check into the boards once again. Logan Seymour fighting board here on the near side. Logan pokes it back ahead. Loose puck. Trying to be sent right back ahead. Braden Lamer. And instead, Landon Seymour comes up with it. Jonah with a move. He's on a breakaway. Jonah, he's in on course. He shoots. Scores! Jonah Dickens! 6-2 Tomahawk. 11:35 to go!
Yeah, Jonah really showed his speed on that one. He took off from that red line, and nobody was catching him. And a beautiful shot. He took his time, and he did the backhand up high.
Three big games, three breakaway goals for Jonah. Rex looks to operate, tries to cross-eye pass. That's deflected. Now fighting for it, Austin Lamer tries to come away with it. That's going to be cleared by Mosinee. No Tomahawk is able to keep in the zone. Lamer with a shot, and he scores! Austin Lamer with a hat trick!
Austin with another... He was crossing into that zone. Oh, and the hats are flying out.
The hats are flying out on the ice. Austin Lamer with a hat trick. The goal. Great Northern Conference Player of the Year and the Tech and the Paluski Award finalist has played absolutely phenomenal tonight. 7-2 Tomahawk with under 6 minutes to go. Looks like by Reese Zabro, who just came in. Now a line change here for Tomahawk. And now that's going to be sent right back. Here comes Jonah Anagol, shoots. He scores! Jonah Thicken! Are you kidding me?
Another great pass, and Jonah with some excellent moves getting around the defender and finding an open spot in the net. Beautiful play.
What a remarkable performance from Tomahawk tonight. Jonah with his second goal. It is 8-2 Tomahawk, 5:14 to go. Do you think the extra signs are demons here, Keith? My goodness. Down to 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Tomahawk, stand up and shout.
You've been listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community right here on